Hey friends, welcome back to Unpolished But Cult. I'm Catherine, showing up today with something warm wrapped around my neck. I'm still sick. I'm still trying to get over this cold. So please bear with me. It's been a long week. So if I stop in between and grab a drink, please just show me some grace. I'm just going to want to make sure that we kind of stay on target for the month of December. We kind of have a tight schedule. I don't want to overdo it, but I also want to make sure that we complete our December calendar for our apostles. So we are going to show up with a kind of curiosity today that always settles in when we talk about one of the disciples. There's something deeply human about each of these men, and today we're spending time with John, the one who somehow managed to love Jesus with a confidence most of us are still trying to figure out. John's story feels familiar in a way that sneaks up on you. He wasn't loud like Peter, he wasn't fiery like James, and he didn't spend his days trying to draw attention to himself. He just stayed close. That closeness shaped everything about him. He listened differently, watched differently, and loved differently. And because of that, his relationship with Jesus reads like a friend who genuinely knew the rhythm of the Lord's heart. What I appreciate most about John is how he teaches us that faith isn't always about being the bold one or the outspoken one. Sometimes it's just about being steady, present, unmovable in the quiet ways. John was a disciple who stayed when others ran, not because he was fearless, but because love held him there. And the more we learn about him, the more we notice pieces of ourselves tucked in his story. The insecurities, the hope, the slow growing confidence in Jesus. The deep desire to stay close, even when we don't always understand what God is doing. John lived all of that long before we ever did, and his life gives us a lens to see our own walks a little more clearly. So today, we're going to talk about this friend of ours, because that's what he feels like. Someone who walked with Jesus in a way that whispers to us, you can walk with him like this too. So John steps into the story in this gentle but unmistakable way, almost like someone who doesn't need to make an entrance to be felt. He grew up on the water, hauling nets with James and their father, working the same rhythms every day. Nothing about his childhood hints at a future that would tilt history. And maybe that's why his story feels so relatable. Most of us didn't grow up expecting God to choose us for anything significant either. We were just living our lives, showing up where we needed to, trying to make sense of ourselves, and John started exactly there. But what stands out early on is the way he paid attention. Where others might rush ahead, or let the noise of the crowd blur things together, he noticed details. Who stood near Jesus, who stepped back, who needed help, who whispered among themselves. That attentiveness shaped how he wrote and how he remembered Jesus. Almost like he wanted future generations to feel the heartbeat under the story. You read John's gospel and realize this man saw things. Not just the miracles, not just the big moments, but the way Jesus' kindness landed on someone's face, or the puzzled look in the disciples' eyes when they didn't understand a parable, or the quiet pauses when Jesus prayed. Only someone who stayed close would catch those things. Closeness became the theme of his life. He wasn't perfect, and he definitely wasn't soft in the beginning. People forget sometimes that John was one of the very same sons of thunder, Jesus joked about. There was fire in him too, and we catch glimpses of it in the Gospels. He's the one who wanted to shut down someone casting out demons because that person wasn't part of their group. He thought unity meant uniformity, and Jesus lovingly redirected him. That moment speaks to all of us who once believed our version of Christianity was the only legitimate version. John's early years show what it looks like when passion needs shepherding, not silencing. Despite that passionate streak, John gravitated towards Jesus with a trust that didn't seem to need convincing. He just followed. Some people need a full explanation before taking a step forward. John moved when Jesus spoke. There was something in that voice that settled him. And maybe that's one of the reasons he ended up leaning against Jesus during that Last Supper. It wasn't about who was the closest friend or the most favored disciple. John simply positioned himself where his heart already was, near Jesus. That closeness wasn't built overnight. It grew through shared moments, miles, and questions. When Jesus healed people, John stood right there, watching compassion break over a crowd like sunlight. When Jesus challenged the Pharisees, John listened, eyes wide, taking in courage he would later need. When Jesus slipped away to pray, John saw the humanity behind the divinity. The disciples saw the strength of Jesus daily, but John saw the tenderness just as clearly. And what makes John even more relatable is the way he processed love. He didn't sit quietly with the thought that Jesus loved him. He wrote it down, said it out loud, told people, declared it as truth. Some people misunderstood that as arrogance, but it wasn't confidence in himself. It was confidence in Jesus' affection. There's a difference. Being the disciple Jesus loved wasn't a title he claimed to elevate himself. It was a posture of gratitude. He recognized the love of God. Instead of brushing it off or shrinking under it, he received it. Imagine how many of us would live differently if we learned to do that. John never tried to outshine the others. He didn't try to become the leader or angle for a position. In fact, when you look closely, he often steps back so Jesus can take center stage. He understood that loving Jesus wasn't about recognition. It was about relationship. That's why his writing doesn't orbit around his accomplishments or his closeness to Jesus. Everything points back to who Christ is. John just wanted the world to see what he saw, hear what he heard, and know what he knew. And there's something steadying about that, especially for those of us who worry we're not loud enough or bold enough or forceful enough to make a difference. John reminds us that spiritual impact has nothing to do with personality type. Faithfulness isn't measured in volume. Some of the strongest disciples aren't the ones who shout truth from the rooftops, but the ones who quietly live it in the shadows. John loved publicly and privately, openly and quietly, consistently. That's why his gospel feels like an invitation instead of an argument. What makes this story all the more compelling is how much he grew. The young man who once wanted to silence others for not fitting into his idea of ministry eventually became the elder who wrote letters soaked in love, unity, and humility. Growth didn't change his fire, it refined it. He learned that truth without love wounds unnecessarily. He learned that love without truth isn't love at all. He learned that following Jesus with your whole heart is more transformative than trying to manage everyone else's obedience. When we sit with his story, we see ourselves in so many places. In the desire to be close to Jesus, in the moments where passion outruns patience, in the instinct to protect what we think God cares about, in the discovery that God cares about people even more than we do, in the slow realization that love is the loudest sermon we'll ever preach. John lived those lessons in real time, long before he ever wrote a single verse. One of the most tender places where John shows us who he truly was appears during the crucifixion. Many disciples ran. Fear scattered them like birds startled from a branch. John stayed. He didn't stay because he was braver. He stayed because he loved. Love roots us where fear wants to uproot us. Jesus, hanging on the cross, looked down and entrusted Mary to him. That moment speaks volumes. Out of everyone he could have chosen, Jesus picked John to care for his mother. Not because John held the highest position, because he had the kind of heart that would protect what Jesus loved most. That moment says more about John than any miracle story ever could. And when the resurrection morning came, John ran to the tomb with Peter. Not walked, ran. Some people see that as excitement. I think it was hope. Hope pulled him forward. It threw him into a full sprint. Hope said, "What if everything he promised is happening right now?" John reached the tomb first, but stepped aside so Peter could enter before him. That gesture reveals his character as clearly as anything in Scripture. He didn't need to be first. He didn't need the credit. He just needed to see Jesus again. And that's why we relate to him. His faith doesn't feel flashy. It feels human. Soft at times, fierce at others, steady underneath it all. He wasn't trying to be impressive. He just wanted to stay close. Everything in his life bends towards that truth. Even in the early church, when persecution scattered believers, John stayed faithful. Tradition tells us he lived longer than the others, outlasting kings and empires, witnessing generations rise and fall. Time didn't weaken his love, it deepened it. His writings towards the end of his life sound like someone who had seen too much of Jesus to be shaken by the world's noise. There's no hurry in him, no anxiety, just a steady assurance. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God. If we're honest, that's the message many of us still need. In a world that constantly pushes us towards anger, division, suspicion, and fear, John pulls us back to center. He reminds us that the heart of Christianity has always been love. Love for Jesus. Love for one another. Love that transforms us from the inside out. Not sentimental love, cheap love, but real love. The kind that stays, sacrifices, refuses to run from the cross. And woven through all of this is the quiet truth that John wasn't exceptionally gifted or academically brilliant. He didn't walk into the story with impressive credentials. But what he had was a willing heart. And Jesus did extraordinary things with that willingness. And that's why we see ourselves in him. Most of us don't bring spiritual resumes to God. We bring availability. And that's enough. John teaches us that closeness to Jesus isn't about perfection or personality. It's about desire. Desire to know him. Desire to lean in. Desire to stay when it hurts. Hope when the world tilts towards despair. John lived that desire every day he followed Christ. By the time the first part of his story settles in our minds, we're already beginning to trace the outlines of our own hearts through his. We see our longing for connection, our attempts to understand God better, our imperfect passion, our stubborn devotion, our desire to stay close even when emotions or doubts get in the way. John's life isn't a pedestal, it's a mirror. And somehow through all of it, Jesus keeps loving us just as fiercely as he loved him. The more we sit with John's story, the more we notice how much of his transformation happened quietly. He didn't shift from thunderous youth to gentle elder overnight. Years of watching Jesus love difficult people softened him. Years of hearing Jesus speak truth without flinching sharpened him. Walking behind a Savior who lifted the lowly, confronted proud, wept with the grieving, and washed dusty feet taught him what greatness really looked like. But none of that happens instantly. And in a world that worships quick results, John's slow, steady growth feels like a deep breath. At some point along the way, he stopped trying to manage God's work and started allowing God to manage his heart. That same shift happens in us when we've lived long enough with Jesus to realize that ministry is too heavy to carry alone. John learned to surrender the parts that wanted to control outcomes. He learned to love people even when they didn't listen. He learned to trust God when circumstances made no sense. Those small daily choices shaped him more than any thunderous moment ever did. His gospel reflects that journey. It reads like someone who sat close enough to Jesus to understand him and long enough to know that most people misunderstand him. John wasn't rushing to record events. He wasn't trying to reveal a person. You can feel that in every word. He doesn't bury the reader in fast-moving scenes. He slows things down so he can pay attention, almost like he's still the young man leaning in, still listening, still watching. Anyone who's ever loved Jesus deeply recognizes that impulse. When someone means that much to you, you don't want to miss any detail. And the more we listen to his voice in Scripture, the more we understand why love became the core of his message. He wasn't preaching something theoretical. He watched divine love stand inches away from him. He watched it restore the broken. He watched it forgive the guilty. He watched it wash the feet of friends who didn't deserve the kindness. He watched it hang on a cross. Love wasn't an idea to him. It was a person with a scarred back and outstretched arms. That kind of experience brands you forever. That is why John wrote the way he did in his letters. Every line of 1 John sounds like someone who has lived long enough to know simple truth is often the hardest to practice. He doesn't hide behind eloquence. He doesn't intellectualize faith. He speaks plainly because truth becomes clearer when we've lived through enough pain to stop complicating it. Anyone who has walked with Jesus for a while knows this feeling. The older we get in the faith, the more we crave clarity. The more we crave gentleness, the more we crave the kind of love that doesn't need to prove anything. And John embodied that. He kept telling believers to love one another, not because he didn't have other things to say, but because he believed that was the message the church forgets the fastest. Isn't that still true? We're so quick to correct, quick to debate, quick to defend doctrinal lines, but We're so slow to love. Listen, we're slow to extend grace. John knew the church would always struggle with that tension, and he became the voice reminding us to return to the heart of Jesus again and again. Even so, he wasn't fragile or passive. The same boldness that once tried to shut people down grew into a holy confidence that refused to tolerate false teaching or spiritual manipulation. His letters hold warnings that sound like they were written yesterday. He tells believers to test every spirit. He reminds them not to chase every clever idea that floats through the community. He calls out deception directly. Love didn't make him timid. It made him anchored. That balance feels especially relevant for us today. Real love guards truth. It protects the vulnerable, confronts lies that threaten the church. John held all that intention with remarkable steadiness. His story carries yet another layer of meaning when we reach the later years of his life. Tradition says he was exiled to Patmos after surviving persecution. Imagine that, an elderly man, tired bones, weathered hands, separated from the community he loved. No crowds, no friends, no home. Just ocean, rock, and silence. Yet, that is where Jesus revealed some of the most breathtaking visions in Scripture. John spent his final years watching Jesus in a way none of us have yet seen. Brilliant, majestic, victorious, radiant enough to make the sun look dim. Just think about how that must have felt. The same disciple who once leaned against Jesus during supper now saw him with eyes that blazed like fire. The same hands John held onto during long walks down Galilean roads were now holding the keys of death and hell. The same voice that whispered parables now thundered like many waters. John saw both the tenderness of the Savior and the power of the King. Staying close gave him both perspectives. That contrast teaches us something essential. Following Jesus will bring seasons where he feels near and seasons where he feels beyond our reach. And both are holy. Both are part of the journey. John learned to trust Jesus in the intimacy of shared meals and in the overwhelming glory of revelation. Many of us are still learning that balance. Some days, Jesus feels close enough to touch. Other days, he feels hidden by circumstances we didn't ask for. John shows us that faith survives both the quiet and the storm. When we consider everything he experienced, from fishing nets to miracles, from betrayal nights to resurrection mornings, from the early church to exile, you would expect him to finish his life with complicated theology or deep philosophical reflections. Instead, his deepest message remained astonishingly simple. Love one another. And that's it. Love as Jesus loved. Love because Jesus loved. Love even when people make it difficult. Love because God is love and we cannot claim to know him if we refuse to give what he freely gives. Maybe that simplicity is why John still resonates. He gives us permission to stop overthinking our faith. He reminds us that Christianity is not a performance, but a relationship. Not a checklist, but a connection. Not an identity built on titles or productivity, but a life shaped by the love of Christ. When we read his words, something in us relaxes. We remember that spiritual maturity isn't loud or showy or complicated. It's faithful, consistent, and deeply rooted in love. He also shows us the beauty of longevity in faith. Peter burned brightly but briefly. James's life ended with courage but early. John stayed for decades, not because he was stronger, but because God had more to write through him. His longevity allowed him to witness what the others never lived to see, the church expanding beyond Jerusalem, Gentiles flooding in, generations rising up to carry the gospel he helped spread. His faith outlasted political rulers, persecutions, and personal loss. Sometimes following Jesus doesn't look like grand gestures. Sometimes it looks like waking up year after year, still devoted, still hopeful, still loving when the world grows cold. That steady endurance is something many of us crave. And life has a way of wearing down our enthusiasm. Responsibilities pile up. Grief leaves its mark. Disappointments reshape expectations. Yet, John shows us how love can anchor a heart through decades of change. His affection for Jesus didn't fade. It matured. That maturity gave him the kind of peace that isn't dependent on circumstances. Anyone longing for that kind of grounded faith finds reassurance in John's story. By the time we reach the end of his life, we realize how deeply human he is. He wasn't trying to be impressive. He wasn't trying to be the center of attention. He never positioned himself as the hero. He simply stayed near Jesus, and that nearness shaped everything he became. His writings feel like a warm hand on a tired shoulder. His gospel feels like someone telling you, "Look closely. This is who he really is." His letters sound like a gentle mentor encouraging the younger generation. Revelation feels like someone opening a window into the brilliance of eternity. Through all of this, he mirrors us, many of us starting our walks with Jesus with fire and questions and idealism. Many of us learned hard lessons along the way. Many of us discovered that love is costlier and richer than we imagined. Many of us have endured seasons of exile, maybe not on an island, but in loneliness, confusion, or silence. But yet, here we are, still reaching for Jesus, still learning to love one another, still growing into the people he saw in us from the beginning. John reminds us that we don't follow Jesus because we are strong. Nope. We follow him because he first loved us. And that love carries us from youthful thunder to mature faith, from insecurity to confidence, from striving to resting. John lived that journey openly, not as a spiritual celebrity, but as a friend of Jesus. And somehow that makes all the difference. His life tells us a simple but profound truth. Staying close to Jesus shapes everything. It shaped how John loved, how he wrote, how he aged, endured, and even how he hoped. And it will shape us too. No matter where we started, no matter how many missteps we've had, how much growing we still need to do, we're not that different from the disciple who leaned on Jesus during dinner. We're just trying to stay close day after day, year after year, until love becomes the true thing about us. So thanks for spending this time with me today. John's life always leaves me a little quiet in the best way, almost like stepping outside after a long conversation and realizing the air feels different. There's something steady about him, something reassuring. He walked with Jesus long enough to know that love, not drama, not ego, not perfection, was the thing that changes us from the inside out. And if he could grow into that kind of faith, then there's hope for every one of us still stumbling our way towards spiritual maturity. John didn't follow Jesus because he had it all figured out. He followed him because he couldn't imagine being anywhere else. Maybe that's what we're learning too. Faith isn't about performing for God. It's about staying near Him until His love becomes the clearest part of who we are. That's the kind of relationship that shapes our reactions, our choices, our endurance, and the way we treat the people who drive us a little wild. So if you saw pieces of yourself in John's story today, take that as a gentle nudge from the Lord. You're on the right track. You're being formed. You're being held. You're being taught how to love with a heart that's learning to trust Him more deeply each day. So before you go, please make sure you follow and subscribe wherever you're listening, either on through your podcast area, or if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, please make sure you subscribe or follow so you don't miss the next episode in our December Disciple series. If you're looking for any books or study materials, please go to my website. You can find it all at katherineschaefer.com. Thank you for being here. Thanks for leaning in. And until next time, stay close to Jesus. He has more for you than you know.